booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, it's Monday. Good morning. This is the 77 WABC Early News. Hopefully you had a nice weekend. I'm Frank Morano.
Hello, Frankie. You had a good weekend?
A splendid weekend.
Wonderful, wonderful, except for sleeping in the car and your wife had to leave you there.
That's right.
You can hear about that on the other side of midnight. Here is what's trending today. New York City's Pride Parade officials have issued a stinging rebuke to the police, including members of their own community. And Matt Gaetz' wingman is hoping for a plea deal that could land the self-proclaimed Florida firebrand in deep trouble. And the info, apparently, we're going to get cleared up today. And the trial for one of America's most bizarre suspected serial killers. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and say this guy's psycho and a murderer. This trial is on again out today in L.A.
And we're going to talk with New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli about the state of New York's finances and what the decline in tourism means for New York's coffers and where we go from here. So
yes.
Looking forward to that conversation.
Good. And in your Jet Set, Juliet, travel update at 5:40, a huge announcement from Italy, followed by two big ones from U.S. Airlines.
Oh, boy. Mm. All right. Well, somebody that is filled with traffic announcements is the man that brings us traffic and transit every 10 minutes on the sevens, the one and only Joe Nolan. Joe, how was your weekend?
It was great. Got to spend some time with my granddaughter. It was awesome. Had a good weekend.
Lovely.
Really good
weekend.
Good for you.
Northbound Jersey Turnpike inner, all lanes are closed with road work. That'll continue until about 6 o'clock this morning. Bell Parkway on the eastbound side by Rockaway Boulevard, an accident with one lane out. Connecticut Turnpike northbound, I-95, an accident right by exit 4. That's on the shoulder. We do have a problem with the number one trains. I misread my own handwriting. Northbound on the ones, there's no service, 168th to 145th Street with debris on the tracks. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations again today are going to be suspended. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, it's going to be a lovely day, 76 degrees. Man, the weekend was just absolutely beautiful. And we had to go to a 50th birthday party. Couldn't have had better weather. Thank goodness. Today, again, 76 degrees, sunny, with some maybe clouds rolling in a little bit later on. On Tuesday, we are getting up to 80 degrees. We're going to get up to 86 degrees, apparently, on Wednesday.
Wow.
Yeah, 85 degrees on Thursday, and then we'll drop down to a chilly 76 on Friday. But all in all, it looks like a sunny week.
Well, I had better hurry up and install those air conditioning units that we purchased.
You better do it quick, Frankie.
Senator Marco Rubio is behind an effort to get answers about an issue he says some colleagues don't take seriously enough. The Florida Republican discussed UFOs in an interview that aired last night on CBS's 60 Minutes. Here's a little bit of Senator Rubio's discussion with Bill Whitaker.
Anything that enters an airspace that's not supposed to be there is a threat.
This is a bizarre issue. The Pentagon and other branches of the military have a long history of sort of dismissing this. What makes you think that this time is going to be different?
I mean, we're going to find out when we get that report. You know, there's a stigma on Capitol Hill. I mean, some of my colleagues are very interested in this topic and some kind of, you know, giggle when you bring it up. But I don't think we can allow the stigma to keep us from having an answer to a very fundamental question.
What do you want us to do about this?
I want us to take it seriously and have a process to take it seriously. I want us to have a process to analyze the data every time it comes in, that there be a place where this is cataloged and constantly analyzed until we get some answers. Maybe it has a very simple answer. Maybe it doesn't.
The senator last year asked intelligence officials to present Congress with an unclassified report on UFO sightings. He says the issue does have a stigma, which he's hoping to help remove.
Who is giggling, I wonder? I mean, you're giggling then at these fighter pilots who are the nation's best of the best, the top of their class, who are saying over and over, we're seeing these reports. If you can't trust them, who can you trust? Moving on now locally, all LGBTQ folks are invited, unless you happen to be part of the NYPD. New York City Pride Parade organizers threw out a humdinger, Frank, of an announcement over the weekend. LGBTQ cops, jeez, it gets longer and longer, are now banned from participating in the fun until at least 2025. The event's organizers say that they're trying to create safer spaces for marginalized groups. In the past, you'd often seen members of the force who are part of the community walking along the parade route, but no more. The LGBT officers, understandably, are upset. The Gay Officers Action League issued a statement saying that they were disheartened. Parade officials say the regular NYPD officers assigned to monitor the parade will be asked to keep a block's distance at all times. I don't even know what to say about this.
Well, some good news. New York City's subway stations are now open 24 hours a day for the first time in roughly a year. The system started shutting down during the overnight hours last spring, allowing crews to carry out sanitation efforts amidst the pandemic. It comes as the MTA reported more than 3.3 million weekday commuters throughout the system. Meantime, MTA officials work to reassure riders as questions are still being raised about safety.
Today is the day we could find out more of the story surrounding self-proclaimed Florida firebrand Matt Gaetz. The congressman's former friend and so-called wingman, Jill Greenberg, has reportedly agreed to tell all when it comes to allegations that Gaetz engaged in sex trafficking and prostitution, and also whether or not he had sex with a minor. A judge today in New York will decide whether to accept a plea deal for Greenberg. If so, it could be very bad news for Matt Gaetz.
New York is going to keep coronavirus vaccine clinics open at four of its subway stations. It includes sites at Penn Station, Grand Central, East 180th Street, and Broadway Junction. The extension will last until Saturday, May 22nd, and people who get vaccinated during this time will still be eligible for a free 7-day MetroCard. Officials say the locations administered at least 5,000 doses of the vaccine last week.
The Department of Justice has until today to decide whether it's going to appeal or release controversial paperwork linked to former President Donald Trump. Now, this document that's in question is a memo that recommended Trump not be charged with obstruction of justice. Critics of the former president say if it's released, it could bolster the argument that former Attorney General Bill Barr was covering for Trump. Last week, federal judge Amy Berman ruled Barr was disingenuous when it came to the real reason he cleared Trump.
Well, major reopenings in addition to subways are coming to the tri-state area this week. New York is getting ahead. Starting today, the midnight curfew is ending for outdoor dining, which comes as a relief to several restaurants throughout New York City. Also comes as a relief to those of us that work late at night or early in the morning. A curfew is still in place for indoor dining, but will be lifted on Memorial Day. On Wednesday, the tri-state will allow restaurants and other businesses to open at 100% capacity as long as social distancing can be maintained.
All right. The trial of the dastardly Robert Durst is set to start up again today. The 78-year-old is the heir to a massive New York City real estate empire, and he's been under a cloud of suspicion for most of his adult life, for one reason or another, mostly murder being the reason. He's been under suspicion for the disappearance of his wife, Kathleen, 40 years ago. And while he was on the run for that, he admitted to killing and dismembering a neighbor while posing as a woman. It's a whole other story. But he claimed the neighbor killing was self-defense and was acquitted. Years later, he was back in a courtroom accused of killing his longtime best friend, who had likely been the keeper of many of his dirty secrets, including Kathleen's disappearance. Late last week, his lawyers filed a motion to delay the trial due to bladder cancer, but again, it's supposed to start up today.
Well, in just a minute, we'll hear from Sid Rosenberg, who's got sports. You're listening to the 77 WABC Early News with Juliet Huddy and me, Frank Moreno.
This is the WABC Early News.
All right, what a sports weekend. Baseball, basketball, and even horse racing. Here to tell us all about it is Sid Rosenberg.
Wait, I like
Good
the other
morning,
story you
Frank.
Were telling us.
That was quite a story. Frank and Juliet, this Monday morning, it's all about the New York Knicks. Unbelievable, but yes, 7 years later, the Knicks make the playoffs. Not just make the playoffs, but they wanted the four seed to get playoff home games at Madison Square Garden. Three things had to happen. The Knicks had to beat both Charlotte and Boston this weekend, and the Bucks had to beat the Heat. And yes, all three things did happen. The Knickerbockers beat the Celtics yesterday 96-92. They are now the four seed inside the Eastern Conference and will start the playoffs at home at Madison Square Garden against the five seed Atlanta Hawks. Here's young Knicks superstar R.J. Barrett on how exciting that is.
Definitely excitement, you know, definitely happy that we wanted a four seed, we wanted a home court advantage. So, you know, definitely happy about that.
The Nets ended the season with an easy win over Cleveland, 123-109. They secured the number 2 seed inside the East. They're going to play the winner of the play-in game between the Celtics and the Wizards. Nets, by the way, 7-2 on the season with Irving, Durant, all playing in the same game. And Harden, of course, the three big superstars. Here's Kevin Durant on the Nets going to the playoffs.
It's on us to go out there and execute, you know, so I'm looking forward to, like I said, the preparation, next few days of practice and seeing who we play, and then we can move on from there.
By the way, last year's champion, Los Angeles Lakers, LeBron James and crew, they have a playoff game against the Golden State Warriors just to make the actual playoff round. Baseball yesterday, the Mets get swept by Tampa Bay. They lose 7-1. They're 18-16, still in first place, though. Mets is in Atlanta for the Braves later on tonight. The Yankees lost yesterday, too, 10-6 to Baltimore. Yanks find themselves at 22-18, third place inside the American League East behind Boston and Toronto. And finally, the Islanders playoff hockey taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins. And late in overtime, the Islanders get a Game 1 win.
Here's Palmieri and Pageau into the Penguin zone. 3.5 to go here in OT. Palmieri with a shot. He scores! Kyle Palmieri, his second today, and the Islanders take Game 1.
Isles get Game 1. Actually, one more note I should say. Yes, Medina Spirit, the controversial horse under Bob Baffert that won the Kentucky Derby. He did not win the Preakness on Saturday. He finished in third. So there's your horse. There'll be no Triple Crown this year in the Big Three. Sports at 15:45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out today at peerlessboilers.com and paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers.
Well, at 5:17, we do traffic and transit on the 7s every 10 minutes, and we do it with a gentleman who spent a good portion of his day yesterday commemorating the end of Ramadan, Joe Nolan. Assalamu alaikum.
Be out there this morning. There are a couple of problems you need to know. First of all, on the turnpike northbound on the inner roadway, all lanes are closed with road work. That continues. Eastbound on the Belt Parkway, again, we're still very heavy and slow at Rockaway Boulevard, an accident with one lane out. Turnpike northbound, I-95, an accident at exit 4 off on the shoulder. And the Transit Authority, there's no number one service from 168th Street to 145th. That would debris. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations, again, today are going to be suspended. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much. We've got Frank's business report coming up. Frank, what are we blasting out today?
Well, there are some real concerns about inflation.
Oh, no. And coming up from your Jet Set, Julia, travel update at 540. Thinking of taking the family to Disney? A new face mask update has folks cheering, but the devil is in the details. And also, speaking of face masks, you got to hear this confrontation between Ricky Schroeder and a Costco guy.
The news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
The opening bell rings this morning after Wall Street closed out a volatile week with a rally. Technology shares led the way Friday as stocks rebounded. Analysts say inflation fears triggered the sell-off. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 360 points. The S&P 500 rose 61 points, and the NASDAQ jumped nearly 305 points. And today is tax day, but you can still file for an extension. Today marks the pushed back deadline to send in your taxes. In mid-March, the IRS decided to push back the filing deadline to May 17th because of the ongoing pandemic. Tax day is traditionally on April 15th. If you're still not ready to file, the IRS allows taxpayers to file for an extension. Still, anyone can go to IRS.gov and automatically get a 6 months extension, Juliet.
Former child star Rick, don't call me Ricky Schroeder, is getting slammed on social media after a video he filmed went viral. The actor, who was part of a controversial group supporting the Kenosha teen shooter Kyle Rittenhouse, posted a scene at his local Costco where he confronts a worker for telling him to wear a mask.
There does seem to be the possibility that in June, by mid-June, that's a date that California, I know,
if they allow us, if they grant us that, our kings, the people in power, you're going to listen to these people?
Well, I know
they've destroyed our economy.
Well,
they're destroying our
culture.
They're destroying our state.
I see.
And you're just going to listen to their rules.
It's a guy that stands out front.
Yeah,
Costco.
That was my issue with this is, you know, the guy in the Costco uniform doesn't make policy for the store. It's not even like he's the manager.
No, and but also if you heard more of the tape, Ricky Schroeder is basically going after this guy and saying that it's, you know, it's a bunch of dictators and so on and so forth, because of course California, like New York, is not consistent with the federal mandate, with the federal guidelines from the CDC saying that we can lose our masks if we're vaccinated. But he, you know, he's saying it's not a law. It's not a law. Well, yes, a mandate is a law passed by the governor, has the same power as a law.
Right. Again, though, the guy's not, he doesn't have a law degree, the Costco guy. He's just sitting there trying to do his job.
He's just trying to do his job. The guy's making probably, however, 10 bucks an hour or something, and
exactly.
Just getting harassed by this entitled superstar.
Well, I will say this. Rick Schroeder is originally from Staten Island, but that kind of behavior is no reflection on Staten Island or Staten Islanders. I will say that.
We love Staten Island.
That's right. All right. The NYPD is releasing surveillance footage of a horrific hit and run in the Bronx. It was around 1:30 in the morning back on May 9th when a driver ran a red light near 222nd Street and Boston Road, T-boning another vehicle and causing injuries to the 20-year-old driver and his 19-year-old passenger. Surveillance video shows a black sedan smashing into a Honda SUV with a chunk of the SUV left in the street. Police are looking to identify the person of interest who was seen getting into a gray Audi and fleeing the scene.
As tourism kicks up here in New York City, and I definitely have noticed that it is, lots of folks will be coming to visit and asking locals where to go and what to see. Now, depending, Frank, on how much you like these visitors, here's an idea. Tell them to head over to Manhattan's One Vanderbilt Tower and take the elevator up to the top, the all-glass elevator. Ceilings, walls, floors. It is all glass.
You know, my cousin was there yesterday, and she seemed to think it was pretty impressive.
There is no amount of money you could pay me to get on that.
Really?
Thing. Yeah. It'll take you nearly 400 meters up the side to the building's observation deck. Once you're on the observation deck, you can enjoy a bite to eat at the Après Café. You can grab a cocktail at the terrace bar or maybe just meander through what they're billing as the highest urban outdoor alpine meadow in the world. Whatever that, I don't know what that means, but sounds kind of interesting. Our fans will apparently love the immersive art installation there. And as if that's all not enough, you can engage in levitation, which is actually the name of something. It's a bunch of glass boxes that jut out from the building, suspending folks more than 1,000 feet above Madison Avenue. This building is going to be, I believe, the fourth highest building in New York City.
Well, I am not going to visit it because I want to be able to continue to throw stones, and won't be able to do that.
That's very funny.
Visit
yes.
That building.
Yes. I can't even imagine standing on a glass floor and looking down. There's just no way. No way. But it could be fun.
I think it's kind of cool. Would you visit this building, Christian?
I would. Yeah. I would. I don't think I have as much of an aversion to glass as you guys do, apparently.
Well, when I went to the CN Tower in Toronto and I tried to walk out onto the glass, I couldn't do it. It was too much. Too much. Thought I was going to have a heart attack.
Well, perhaps you will visit New Jersey instead, where Governor Phil Murphy is not yet ready to lift mask requirements for people who are fully vaccinated. And he's making sure to highlight those who support his decision. This includes Mark Perrone, the president of the United Food and Commercials Commercial Workers International Union. In a statement, Perrone wrote, "Grocery workers in New Jersey have put their lives on the line during this pandemic," adding Murphy is showing leadership by keeping the mask mandate. Perrone is calling on governors across the country to follow states like New Jersey and Hawaii.
It is extremely confusing. I will say that the 50th birthday party that I went to over the weekend in the Valley Stream area, everybody was outside and no one was wearing their masks. I can assure you of that, Governor Cuomo. A curious update on the Bill and Melinda Gates split. London's Daily Mail is reporting Bill Gates met with accused pedophile Jeffrey Epstein not just like once or twice, but dozens of times at the pedo's mansion in Manhattan, actually, the townhouse here. The topic, apparently, that they were talking about, according to a source, was allegedly how Gates could get out of his toxic marriage. This source says the two billionaires were very close. A Gates spokesperson says the report is a mischaracterization. Meantime, the townhouse in question is the same site Epstein would reportedly engage in kinky sex play with underage girls. And the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the Microsoft founder resigned from the company's board during an investigation into whether he had an affair with a female staff member. The woman is an engineer, and she apparently wrote to the board detailing the affair sometime during this whole Me Too thing when it was blowing up, which apparently this affair happened back in 2000, sometime around that time.
The city of Trenton is launching updated cybersecurity training for its employees. It comes after the city stopped a sophisticated phishing scam that used fake email addresses and URLs to closely imitate official city accounts. Mayor Reed Gasoria says Trenton received an uptick in complaints from residents throughout the pandemic, adding, it looks like City Hall was also a target. The training will take place over the next few weeks.
All right, it is 526, almost 527. Right now, let's get over to traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe. No.
All right, Juliet, as you travel northbound on the Jersey Turnpike, the inner roadway is still going to be closed. Again, that road work that is still there, still in the process of being picked up by the New Jersey Turnpike Authority. Eastbound on the Belt Parkway at Rockaway Boulevard, there's a crash, one lane out. Connecticut Turnpike northbound, an accident right around exit 4. That's off on the shoulder. And the Transit Authority, there's no number one service between 168th Street and 145th. That because of the debris. Alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations again today are suspended. The supportive service of Audible gives spring a whole new sound with Audible Plus. Listen all you want to thousands of select Audible Originals, audiobooks, and podcasts, including exclusive series. Start a free 30-day trial when you sign up at audible.com. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Coming up in your Jet Set, Julia, travel update at 540. I'll tell you how to take your Italian vacation without having to quarantine for 10 days once you get there. But first, let's head over to the news desk. It's time for Deb's Headlines.
From the 77 WABC Early News Desk, I'm Deborah Valentine. Well, suspects at large after a 17-year-old was shot and killed three others. Heard this happened at a McDonald's on Webster Avenue in the Claremont section of the Bronx Saturday. Police think that some kind of a dispute preceded the gunfire. Suspects at large. Well, New York City police getting the cold shoulder from Pride Parade organizers. Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer has a story.
Police groups are now banned from participating in New York City's Pride celebrations until 2025. Organizers also want to reduce the presence of NYPD security and first responders at events. Now, police will be asked to stay at least a block away from all in-person events. They'll use private security. An NYPD spokesperson called the ban disheartening, but local activists have apparently been demanding it for years.
And the controversy continues. Heritage of Pride said Friday they won't allow the parade unless police are there. It's planned for June 27th. Well, the outdoor restaurant curfew now lifted in New York City, and a curfew for indoor dining will be lifted in 2 weeks. As for the New York City subway system, it's back to 24-7. They'd been shuttered for cleaning from 2 to 4 a.m., and this writer says she's worried.
If they're opening up 24 hours, like, how are they going to keep it clean to stop the spread?
Demetrius Churchlow of the MTA says cleaning will now take place at the end of the line.
Allow for customers to come off. We close the train back up. The cleaners come on, clean and disinfect the train, and we have a success there.
And on Wednesday, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut will lift nearly all remaining business capacity restrictions. A coordinated reopening effort similar to the coordinated shutdown the governors first implemented back in March of 2020. Police say a Paterson, New Jersey mother is charged in the murder of her 7-year-old son. 46-year-old Iris Tolentino was taken to a hospital for a mental health check after allegedly stabbing her son to death at the family's North 6th Street apartment in Paterson. Police say that her 17-year-old son was uninjured. Tolentino has now been charged with first-degree murder, first-degree attempted murder, third-degree possession of a weapon for an unlawful purpose, fourth-degree unlawful possession of a weapon, two counts of endangering the welfare of a child in the second degree. Fox is next.
And Hamas in Gaza.
Israeli warplanes unleashing heavy airstrikes at several locations in Gaza City, beginning a second week of violence between Israel and Hamas. The aerial assault coming just a few hours after a televised address by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who indicated the fighting would rage on at, quote, full force.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. Two arson suspects are detained in a Los Angeles wildfire. About 1,000 residents remain under evacuation orders, while others were warned they should get ready to leave. There was zero containment. And a fiery train derailment in northwest Iowa has sent thick black smoke into the air, prompting authorities to evacuate part of the small nearby town of Sibley, roughly 200 miles northwest of Des Moines. America's listening to Fox News.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. This is the WABC Early News with Juliet and Frank. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll have the Jet Set Juliet Travel Report. But I am thrilled in our newsmaker segment to be able to talk to the controller of the state of New York, Tom DiNapoli. Mr. Controller, thanks for getting up early for us.
Frank, it's a pleasure, and I'm with Juliet. I'm not getting on that glass elevator.
Heck no.
Well, so people are coming to New York again for some reason. What kind of impact have we seen the decline in tourism over the course of the past year have on New York State's economy and on New York City's economy?
Oh, it's been a huge economic loss. We put out a report. We've been putting out several reports looking at different sectors of New York City's economy, and just looking at tourism, what you really saw was a 75% drop in economic impact, from an economic impact of over $80 billion in 2019 to only about $20 billion in 2020. Big decline in employment. And the reason is obvious, right? It's all pandemic-related and businesses being shut down, the venues that people would go to, Broadway, restaurants, the whole ecosystem. So, and many of us, over the past few months, whenever we've been in Manhattan, especially Midtown around Broadway, it's been pretty quiet. So thankfully, we're starting to see it come back. The restaurants are an important part of that sector. Broadway reopening in September, some of the shows are going to start again. Hopefully we will see a quick turnaround. But my guess is it's going to take time, particularly, Frank and Juliet, for those overseas travelers who, frankly, spend more money than the domestic travelers. So
yeah.
I think it's good. Be some time before we get back to where we were.
I was going to talk about that with you. I'm curious as to what you have to say. A lot of countries and a lot of people that I've heard from countries over in Europe, for instance, countries that don't have the vaccination success that we have had here in the United States and in New York, a lot of folks are saying we're not ready for tourism to start up again, even though our leaders are opening up our countries. We obviously aren't seeing that here, are we? I mean, we are welcoming tourists. We want them to be here, don't we?
We do, indeed. Although, Juliet, I do think, I think it'll start with folks, traveling from Long Island, where I live, and Hudson Valley, coming in, day trippers. You'll see, we're already seeing, some of that. How much you're going to have people flying in from other states, again, I think that's going to take some time. And I think we have to be honest. It's also issues relating to public safety, perception of where New York is at right now. So, I think those are other factors that we have to, weigh that we, and that's why, you see the different, NYC and company, and, when we did our report, we were in Times Square, the Times Square Alliance. They're really trying to coordinate a message of welcoming, all the different groups associated with Broadway. They're really trying to work in a coordinated fashion. And I really think that what that also means is that we need better coordination between New York City and New York State on all of these issues, whether it's on the different mandates or just, what are we going to do to make more entertainment venues available, especially now with the warmer weather, we could do more outside. Let's be honest, there has not always been the best coordination between New York City and New York State over the past few months.
Tom, I saw another report your office put out about identity theft. Apparently, identity theft cases surged here in New York last year. What's driving the uptick in identity theft cases, and what specific scams should our listeners be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I mean, Frank, we just put this report out, and the complaints to the Federal Trade Commission up 85% in New York State over the past year. I mean, dramatic increase.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have the usual credit card fraud. That's not unusual. But in terms of your question, we see new scams related to the pandemic. So, you know, with the government programs, unemployment benefits, right? That's been a particular area where people have been trying to access other folks' identity to get those unemployment benefits, to the point of many cases of people who are still working, not entitled to unemployment benefits, getting something in the mail saying, you know, we got your application, we're processing it. Oh, and we've even gotten some of the calls, even though we're not the Department of Labor, the controls, so saying, I didn't apply for unemployment, so I'm working. It gets back to identity theft. Even, you know, we've seen some cases where public employers have their payroll system has been hacked. So a number of employees from the same employer are having their identities theft, and folks are trying to steal their identity to get those unemployment benefits. Fortunately, in many cases, Department of Labor has been able to stop that. But another area that you got to watch out for relates to, again, related to pandemic, health care, prescription drugs, health insurance, medical insurance. Again, folks stealing identity, trying to access those benefits as well.
You know, I get so many of these scam calls. It seems like in the last year, my phone is just ringing off the hook with the scam callers, but that's a whole other topic. And as a Long Islander, a fellow Long Islander, I appreciate you joining us today. I do love my Long Island people. And
all right, Juliet.
We'll talk with you again soon.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Juliet. Thanks, Frank.
And it is 5:37 right now. Time to head out to traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe Nolan.
Well, we got a problem with New Jersey Transit trains now as you get out onto the Morrison Essex line between Dover and Summit. Unfortunately, a pedestrian accident out at Convent Station. As a result, they have suspended service on the Morrison Essex between Dover and Summit. Also, the number one line still with delays between 168 and 145 because of debris on the track. Eastbound Bell Parkway, that accident at Rockaway Boulevard should just about be out of the way by now. And alternate side of the street parking rules once again today are going to be suspended. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Oh, this gas shortage. This gas shortage situation is a brutal, brutal nightmare. Frank is going to tell us all about it. Coming up after the break, also your Jet Set Juliet travel update. A lot of breaking news that you guys want to be updated on.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Well, stocks recovered a bit on Friday after a rough week. The S&P 500 was up 61 points. The NASDAQ jumped nearly 305 points, and the Dow Jones gained 360 points. But so much of the economic picture in our area and around the country is going to be driven by gas. Gas shortages on the East Coast are easing after 1,000 more stations got supplies as the nation's biggest pipeline network recovers from last week's shutdown. But many more stations were still dry Sunday. The 5,500-mile Colonial Pipeline transported no fuel for 6 days as the most disruptive cyber attack on record choked off the supply of gas, diesel, and jet fuel throughout the eastern United States. About 70% of stations in and around Washington, D.C. were out. There was no fuel in more than half the stations in North Carolina, while fewer than half the stations were dry in South Carolina, Maryland, Virginia, and Georgia.
It is time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Juliet Huddy TV for details and pictures and all that information. Let's start with some breaking news from over the weekend. American Airlines is now the second U.S. airline to offer quarantine-free flights to Italy for all customers. Basically, up until now, you could only go to Italy if you were on essential business. But starting yesterday, whether you're flying for business or you're just going there to see the beautiful sights for pleasure, everyone is eligible to fly on Americans' flights from New York to Italy. So here's the rub. To do this, you need to provide a negative PCR test before you fly, taken within 72 hours before departure. When you land in either Milan or Rome, you'll be tested again. This time it'll be a rapid test. As long as you're negative, you're positively free to enjoy your Italian vacation without having to quarantine. And by the way, Delta was the first to announce a similar change. Theirs is a little bit different, though. Along with a negative PCR test when you check in for your flight at JFK, you're going to have to take a rapid test there just before boarding. Again, you're going to take one on American when you arrive. The announcements come just a few days after Italian officials said that they are ready to welcome all travelers flying on a COVID-tested flight from the U.S., Canada, Japan, and the United Arab Emirates. The rules went into effect yesterday. And speaking of Delta, if you're concerned about the spread of COVID, the airline is doing what it can to help alleviate some of that anxiety. They announced Friday that they're going to be the first U.S. carrier to mandate vaccinations for all new employees. These are new employees. Current employees are exempt, but the company says roughly 6 out of 10 of its staff have had the shot. United, meantime, is also considering a mandatory vaccine mandate for its employees. So just stay tuned about pending lawsuits for that. Plus, starting in July, Delta will launch 3 more COVID test routes to Italy, including 2 to Venice, which is incredibly convenient for me.
Absolutely.
Not great news if you've been planning to vacation in Israel this summer, particularly now. Obviously, you've seen what's going on there, the rockets, the violence, the tensions between Israelis and Palestinians. So as a consequence, Royal Caribbean has canceled their season sailing out of Israel. In fact, news broke this morning that the company is extending the suspension of its global fleet until June 30th over health concerns and what's happening in Israel. Suspension excludes a few of the line's bigger ships. So if you are planning on sailing at some point in June, just check. I'm sure you're going to be informed. This is a huge loss, obviously, to the cruising industry and to travelers because Israel just dominated when it came to wiping out COVID. They had strict lockdown rules, a really strong vaccine program. And I know a lot of tour companies and travelers were really banking on a safe and easy trip to the Holy Land. Now, actually, like in the next few weeks, but it's just not meant to be, unfortunately, this time around. This was the first time Royal Caribbean was sailing out of Haifa, and the trips were limited to Israeli residents. But it is a definite warning to folks hoping to travel there in the near future. And you know last week how I told you how the State Department lowered the travel advisories to the UK and Israel? And I thought, well, that's kind of curious timing, at least for Israel. Clearly, they jumped the gun. The feds once again raised the alert to level 3. Reconsider travel. This applies to Israel. Rockets are pounding Gaza and the surrounding area. You know what's going on there. So just best delay your trip for a bit. On to the face mask issue. Disney World in Orlando, as well as the Universal theme parks, are going along with the no mask required policy issued by the CDC last week. As of Saturday, guests could toss their masks when outdoors as long as they're fully vaccinated. Here's the thing, though. If you're planning to go to Disney, just FYI, you will have to use a mask when entering and throughout all attractions, all theaters, all transportation, and indoor locations, including restaurants and hotels. So well, when do you not wear your
right.
mask?
I was just going to say, it doesn't sound like they've dropped their mask.
I'm a little confused by that. So maybe they'll issue a little bit more clarification. But that is your Jet Set Juliet travel update. Again, follow me on Twitter at Juliet Huddy TV and Instagram. You get lots of good information.
All right. Juliet Huddy TV, Twitter and Instagram. Big sports weekend, and we have one of the biggest sportscasters around to help guide us through a weekend with a ton of news. The one and only Sid.
Hello, Frank and Juliet. Good Monday morning. Very exciting morning here in New York City because the Knickerbockers, some say the second most popular team in this town next to the Yanks, for the first time in 7 years, the Knicks are on their way to the playoffs. Now, they wanted that 4 seed. That means home games in the playoffs. 3 things had to happen this weekend. The Knicks had to beat the Hornets and the Celtics, and the Bucks had to beat the Heat. And guess what? All 3 things happened. The Knicks yesterday beat Boston 96-92. They've secured the number 4 slot in the East. They'll take on the 5 seed Atlanta Hawks in the first round of the playoffs, and it will start at Madison Square Garden. Here's Knick coach Tom Thibodeau. It gets tougher from here.
It's important to, you know, appreciate the effort and the work that has gone into it thus far, but to also understand that the challenge continues and there's an intensity level to the playoffs that is much different than the regular season. So we have to prepare ourselves for that as well.
When the big three play together, Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving, the Nets are now 7-2. They beat Cleveland in their regular season finale yesterday, 123-109. They secure the 2 spot behind Philadelphia in the Eastern Conference. They'll take on the winner of Boston and Washington's play-in game. Here's Kevin Durant on the playoffs.
It's on us to go out there and execute, you know, so I'm looking forward to, like I said, the preparation, next few days of practice and seeing who we play, and then we can move on from there.
Mets got swept by the Rays this weekend. They lost 7-1 yesterday. They're 18-16. They're still in first. They're in Atlanta for the Braves today. The Yanks took it on the chin yesterday, losing 10-6 to the Orioles at 22-18. They're in third place inside the American League East. They're in Texas for the Rangers tonight. Medina Spirit did not win the Preakness. The horse that won the Kentucky Derby, Bob Baffert, all the controversy, came in third at Pimlico on Saturday. Romber was the winner. And finally, the Islanders, game one of their Stanley Cup playoffs against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they win in dramatic fashion.
Here's Palmieri and Pageau into the Penguin zone. 3.5 to go here in OT. Palmieri with a shot. He scores! Kyle Palmieri, his second today, and the Islanders take game one.
How about that? Sports at 15 and 45 is brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best-built boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
547, here's a man that has no peer when it comes to traffic reporting. Joe Nolan has all the latest traffic and transit information on the 7s. Hello there, Joe.
The Islanders needed a former devil to win the game, I see, huh? Palmieri. Outbound on the Gowanus, slow into Industry City. Tractor-trailer accident. Two lanes are out of service as you come through there. You're also looking at a problem on the Connecticut Turnpike, northbound I-95 up at exit 4. Collision also as you head southbound on the Garden State Parkway. Right lane, off-ramp closed with an accident. Westbound Long Island Expressway, the outer roadway at Casino Boulevard. That collision continues. Now, there is no Morrison-Essex line service on New Jersey Transit between Dover and Summit. This is a very big deal. A pedestrian accident out there by Convent Station, and alternate side of the street parking rules are suspended. And this report is service of Audible. Give spring a whole new sound with Audible Plus. Listen all you want to thousands of select Audible originals, audiobooks, and podcasts, including exclusive series. Start a free 30-day trial when you sign up at audible.com. Traffic on the 7s. I'm Joe Nolan. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
How's the work week looking weather-wise? I will tell you after the break. Also, will Matthew McConaughey be running for governor?
This is the WABC Early News.
Welcome back, everybody. The early news time is 5:49, and in your Ramsey Mazda weather report, it is going to be a great week. Also, very warm. Yes, Frank, you've got to install the air conditioners.
Oh, boy.
It's happening. It's happening. Monday, today, we're going to look at 76 degrees for a high, sunny skies. We're getting into 80 tomorrow with mostly sunny skies. Same thing Wednesday, although we're going to be up to 86 degrees, near 90 degrees on Wednesday. That's incredible. Thursday, we get back down to 85 degrees. Friday, we're dipping down to a chilly 77, but I don't see any real serious clouds or rain on the way at all. I mean, and I'm looking through next Wednesday, too, so that's great news. Currently, the temperature in Manhattan is 57 degrees.
Scarlett Johansson and Sacha Baron Cohen were among the winners in last night's MTV Movie and TV Awards. Johansson picked up the Generation Award for her many roles, and Baron Cohen won the Comedic Genius Award. Other winners included To All the Boys, Always and Forever as Best Movie, WandaVision as Best Show, and the late Chadwick Boseman for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Leslie Jones won Best Comedic Performance for Coming to America, and Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan collected the Best Duo Award for The Falcon and The Winter Soldier.
Matthew McConaughey may be getting closer to running for office. Politico reporting the 51-year-old is quietly reaching out to Texas political bosses and local business leaders to gauge support for a potential gubernatorial run. There's no word yet on whether he'd run as a Republican or a Democrat, which is interesting, but early reports suggest that he has been in talks with a moderate Republican energy CEO from Texas. Meantime, a poll shows the actor would beat Texas Governor Greg Abbott if the race were held now.
It is interesting to me, and again, I don't want to editorialize here, but both McConaughey, who's leading in Texas right now, and The Rock, who a majority of people say they want to see run for president in 2024, nobody knows their position on anything, but we're ready to elect them.
Well, it's all about charisma. That kind of says a lot, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, the CDC director says requiring proof of COVID vaccination will likely be an industry-by-industry decision. On Fox News Sunday, Dr. Rochelle Walensky said some universities have already put vaccination mandates in place for the fall, Walensky acknowledged it may be a challenge for providing proof of vaccination to become a societal norm, which is why she expects the decisions to be made at more local and industry-specific levels.
Well, some sad news. The little boy who landed the interview of a lifetime with then-President Barack Obama has passed away.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm proud to make the school lunches better.
Well, you know, I remember when I used to get school lunches, sometimes they didn't taste so good, I got to admit. We are actually seeing if we can work to at least make school lunches healthier.
Damon Weaver was 11 years old when he was picked to have the presidential sit down. They talked about life and mainly education. The Palm Beach County Medical Examiner says the 23-year-old died on May 1st. Family members reportedly told CNN that he passed away from natural causes.
That is awfully sad.
Yeah.
All right. Israel's prime minister says he's not planning to let terrorists get away with attacking his country. On CBS's Face the Nation, Benjamin Netanyahu said Hamas is attacking Israel through the shield of civilians. He claims they're using neighborhoods, schools, and other non-military areas as defense to protect their people from Israeli forces. The Israeli leader also denounced other world leaders upset about his military response, saying it only adds fuel for Hamas to extend and deepen the conflict.
Well, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson lashing out at what he calls shameful racism after several ethnically motivated events in the UK. In one case, a rabbi was hospitalized after being attacked outside a synagogue in Essex, England, northeast of London. Meantime, in northern London, a community is in shock after a convoy of cars drove through a Jewish neighborhood yelling anti-Semitic comments. I guess it was like on PA systems hooked up to the cars, including things like F their mothers, F their daughters, while flying Palestinian flags. Meantime, the AP is calling for a probe into the Israeli airstrike that targeted a Gaza building housing its offices. This is the Associated Press. Also the offices of Al Jazeera. Reporters Without Borders also asking the International Criminal Court to investigate. The Israeli military gave the AP journalists and other tenants of the building a heads up about an hour before that bombing.
Hard seltzers are getting a twist this summer that one beverage company is calling a really big deal. Crook and Marker is teaming up with Brewmate to launch a pickle-flavored hard seltzer to be released over the weekend. This comes after Brewmate announced the dill-flavored drink as an April Fool's joke last year, but fans of the snack were disappointed, leaving the company in quite a pickle. So this year, the two companies are announcing Afternoon Delight for real this time.
Why would you have a dill-flavored drink? I don't understand that. Unless you're making a cocktail, like a dirty martini.
Well, look, I'm going to try this, but I have had a pickle martini or two over the years. It's not the best tasting drink in the world.
Yeah, I don't know about that. We are going to tell you about Kobe Bryant's official membership in the Basketball Hall of Fame and a soundbite from his wife that is quite entertaining coming up right after this break.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Welcome back. WABC News Time 5:56. Kobe Bryant's officially a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. He was inducted over the weekend by his pal Michael Jordan. Of course, Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and several others were killed in a chopper crash a little over a year ago. Joining Jordan on stage, Bryant's wife, Vanessa.
I can see him now, arms folded, with a huge grin, saying, isn't this
a... It was a little hard to understand. Yeah, she used the S word, you know. I think you can make up, you know, you can fill in the rest. The 39-year-old told the crowd at Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut that she never praised her hubby in public, or she tried not to, because he got enough adulation from his fans. And she knows he would have been very proud of this moment.
5:57. We're all very proud of Joe Nolan each and every morning that he brings us traffic and transit information. Isn't that right, Joe?
I guess.
I'm not proud of you.
No,
you disappoint me every day.
Oh, thank you so much. That's awesome. Now, as you travel out of New Jersey Transit, trades a 45-minute delay on the Morris and Essex both way now. At least they're running again between Dover and Summit. There was a pedestrian accident near Convent Station. So 45-minute delays on the Morris and Essex now between Dover over and Summit. Also, there are delays on the I-1 and the J trains. That because of some earlier issues on both of those. Southbound Garden State Parkway at 132, car fire, right lane and the off-ramp is blocked, and a tractor-trailer accident outbound on the Gowanus and Industry City. Two lanes out of service and alternate side again today is suspended. This report of service of Audible gives spring a whole new sound with Audible Plus. Listen all you want to thousands of select Audible originals, audiobooks, and podcasts, including exclusive series. Start a free 30-day trial when you sign up at audible.com. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
The NYPD is finding creative ways to help New York City's Asian community. Yesterday, the Asian Hate Crimes Task Force hosted a free self-defense class in the Bay Ridge area of Brooklyn. The task force plans on holding additional workshops throughout the five boroughs.
We are going to be telling you about all sorts of breaking news coming up at the 6 o'clock hour, including an Ohio mom. She is in big trouble. You know those, you've ever heard of this Munchausen syndrome by proxy? Yeah, I'm guessing that this is exactly what that is. It's pretty awful, to be quite honest with you. Maybe it's a different version of it, but it's a crazy story. And we'll give you an update on the Matt Gaetz situation. His former buddy, pal, wingman is supposedly entering a plea today. Should be interesting to see what happens with that.
And Liz Cheney is continuing to defend her criticism of President Trump. We'll tell you what she said yesterday and why she's not backing down. And what movie was tops at the box office this weekend? You won't want to miss that.
Also, Sid is going to be telling us what's happening on the Bernie and Sid show. All of that coming up at the 6 o'clock hour right after national and local news.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
It's Monday. It's tax day. If your taxes aren't ready, be sure to file an extension. Whole lot more coming your way money-wise in just a little bit. I'm Frank Morano.
And I'm Juliet Huddy. We have Gabby and Christian at the controls. Deb, as you heard, is following breaking news. Sid will be up in just a few minutes at 6:15 with sports. And I think we'll be talking about finding out what's happening with this Matt Gaetz situation. His friend is apparently going to be entering a plea.
Not going to be good
deal.
News for him.
He's allegedly cooperating. And, yes, I think the cloud is hanging over him, Matt Gaetz, very darkly today.
And while their political ideologies may differ a bit, she is not the only Republican Congress member who is making headlines this weekend. Liz Cheney was doing the rounds on some of the Sunday shows yesterday, and we'll tell you what she had to say about why she's still at loggerheads with President Trump. But somebody that is always at loggerheads with gridlock is Joe Nolan, who brings you traffic and transit on the 7s. How's it looking
so far, Joe?
Well, we got ourselves a couple of problems, Frank and Juliet, as you travel on the inbound Pulaski Skyway now, leaving Newark all the way on out. Well, it's pretty much through Kearney. Bumper-to-bumper traffic, there's an accident there. You're also looking at slow traffic on the northbound Connecticut Turnpike, I-95, getting up to exit 4. That accident also still there, still in the process of being cleared. Now, if you're outbound on the Gowanus, we're bumper-to-bumper, Prospect Expressway, tractor-trailer accident, that's in the right lane inbound. A ton of rubbernecking. You're backed up through Industry City already. And then New Jersey Transit Trains, a little bit of good news. At one point, they were not running at all. Now, 45-minute delays both ways between Dover and Summit. That with a pedestrian accident at Convent Station. And alternate side of the street parking rules are suspended today. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. WABC Radio news time is early news time at 6:07. Oh, you're just staring at me, Frank. You're staring at me strangely.
I'm not staring strangely at all. You were talking. I look at you when you talk.
Oh, okay. All right.
I can look away.
What do you think about this LGBTQ situation with the gay pride parade?
I think it is absolutely outrageous.
I am really just blown away by this. So apparently all LGBTQ folks are invited unless you happen to be part of the NYPD, all these acronyms. And New York City Pride Parade organizers threw out a real shocker of an announcement over the weekend. This is like a tongue twister. LGBTQ cops are now banned from participating in the fun at least until 2025. I was going to say LGBTQ NYPD cops, but I just decided it's just too much.
Well, at least you didn't say LGBTQIA NYPD cops.
I don't even know what that means. The event's organizers say that they're trying to create safer spaces for marginalized groups. In the past, you would often see members of the force who are part of this community, the gay community, the lesbian community, etc., walking along the parade route, but no more, apparently. LGBT officers understandably are upset. The Gay Officers Action League issued a statement saying they're disheartened. Parade officials say the regular NYPD officers assigned to monitor the parade will be asked to keep a block's distance at all times.
Wyoming Republican Liz Cheney says her criticism of former President Trump is necessary. Cheney was kicked out as chair of the House Republican Conference last week and replaced by New York's own Elise Stefanik, a Trump ally. Cheney told ABC's This Week it's dangerous for Republicans to continue embracing Trump and his ongoing claims of massive voter fraud in the 2020 presidential election.
An Ohio mom is in big trouble after spending the last few years fundraising for her dying daughter. What's the problem with that? I think you can probably figure this one out. The 11-year-old was never dying. In fact, she was never sick. Authorities in Canton, Ohio, say 34-year-old Lindsay Abel made all of this stuff up about her daughter just for the perks, which included free trips to SeaWorld, football games, even their home's mortgage. The 11-year-old Riley has reportedly even been in a therapy. I mean, she's been seeing a therapist apparently to deal with her terminal illness, which is, again, non-existent. She's been placed with her dad while authorities investigate.
The latest film in the Saw horror franchise is this weekend's top movie in America. Spiral earned nearly $9 million in its first week in theaters in the U.S. and Canada. Last weekend's box office champ, Wrath of Man, was second with almost $4 million. Coming in third is the new Angelina Jolie action film, Those Who Wish Me Dead, with almost $3 million.
Let's head out to Colorado. A creep there was picked up recently and charged with murder in the disappearance of his wife a year ago. And now Barry Lee Morphew is getting slapped with even more charges, this time voter fraud. Officials say the 52-year-old voted twice for Donald Trump, once on behalf of himself and the second time using his wife's mail-in ballot. This is, again, his wife who disappeared and is presumed dead. Suzanne Morphew was reported missing after going for a bike ride on Mother's Day and just never returning. Her body has never been found.
Well, we are in the midst of a whole bunch of reopenings. The subway system is back to 24/7 service today in New York City. For nearly a year, the subway had been shut down for part of the overnight to allow for a deep cleaning to help prevent coronavirus spread. Ridership is still way down, with a little more than 2 million riders a day now, compared to 5.5 million pre-pandemic. Masks do remain mandatory on the subway system. In addition, as more things get back to normal starting today, the midnight curfew ends for outdoor dining in New York. A curfew is still in place for indoor dining, but will be lifted on Memorial Day. On Wednesday, restaurants and other businesses will be allowed to open up at 100% capacity, right, as long as distance can be maintained.
And I heard, I think it was Pat Foy that I heard on the radio talking about how he wants more police inside the subways, which I think is a fantastic idea. 600 or so more.
Right. And that went hand in hand with what the current acting head of the MTA said. And she seemed to blame Mayor de Blasio for the uptick in subway crime.
Well, when you have people marauding and there's nothing done, including sending police in, I would say that that might be accurate. Anyway, YOLO, that's the word from millennials around the world. Frank, it turns out folks in their 20s and 30s have decided to turn those fattened up bank accounts they gained while locked down into enterprising ventures. Now, I mentioned this like a month or so ago. But apparently now industry leaders, think tanks, and banks are reporting the millennial generation has decided to leave the security of their ho-hum job, their ho-hum pre-pandemic job, and use the money that they saved during lockdown to set up their own businesses, and also their using bank loans. The New York Times even has a term for the phenomenon, YOLO economy. A recent YouGov YOLO, you only live once, right? A recent YouGov survey shows 1 in 20 of all under 35s started their own biz in 2020. That's 1 in 20 in 2020. The number rose to 1 in 7 in 2021.
That's wild.
That's pretty significant.
Absolutely.
Like a jump from what, 5 to 15%?
That's huge.
Yeah.
Rockstar Eric Clapton is blasting what he calls propaganda about coronavirus vaccine safety and says he suffered alarming side effects after getting vaccinated. The legendary British guitarist said he had side effects that lasted 10 days after getting the AstraZeneca vaccine, making his hands and feet useless and making him fear he'd never play again. The 76-year-old Rock and Roll Hall of Famer said he recovered eventually but had another round of disastrous reactions 6 weeks later after getting the second shot.
Well, he claims propaganda, like you said, but the vaccine we have heard has warnings, and some people are going to deal with those bad reactions. They're very rare reactions. That's never been hidden, and all doctors say the benefits outweigh the risks. Let's see. If you're curious about how the late Joan Rivers lived at home, you are in luck. Her glitzy, and I mean glitzy, Upper East Side penthouse is back on the market, and the pictures are quite something, Frank. Quite something. Lots of massive ceilings and gilt. And honestly, it looks like something out of Versailles.
Huh.
It's as much as I would normally hate this kind of thing, I kind of love it. Because it really does look like something.
Why would you normally hate something?
Well, just because it's a little bit too much.
Oh, too
gaudy? Yeah, you know, I mean, if you're living back in the 1700s, it's not. But this actually looks quite beautiful, I have to say. The comic lived there for around 28 years before her death in 2014. The neo-French classic abode has 4 bedrooms, 5 baths, 5 wood-burning fireplaces, not one, but 2 massive terraces and a wood-paneled library. And, of course, every house needs a ballroom. It's across from Central Park with stunning views, and you can purchase it for just $38
million. Ah, child's play, pish-posh,
right,
when it comes to our sportscaster extraordinaire, Sid Rosenberg.
You can handle it. But by the way, she claims that it is haunted, and it's haunted by a ghost named Mrs. Spencer, a former resident and the late niece of financier J.P. Morgan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that should drive the price up, I would think.
Well, she was on Ghost Hunters talking about this. So, I mean, Sid, would you be interested in buying the $38 million Joan Rivers house?
No.
Moving on. What's going on?
Billy, I have $38. Let alone $38 million. I do miss Joan Rivers, though. I must say that.
She was great.
Yep. The big story in New York today is the Knicks, Frank and Juliet. First time in 7 years, the Knicks are back in the playoffs. 3 things had to happen this weekend for the Knicks to secure the number 4 seed in the East and guarantee playoff home games at Madison Square Garden. A, they had to win their 2 games against the Hornets and the Celtics. And B, Milwaukee had to beat Miami. It all happened. And the Knicks, after beating Boston yesterday, 96-92, are the 4 seed in the East. They will host the 5 seed Atlanta Hawks in first-round playoff action at Madison Square Garden. Here's young Knicks star R.J. Barrett on that.
Definitely excitement. You know, definitely happy that we won the 4 seed. We won the home court advantage. So, you know, definitely happy about that.
Now, the Nets won their season finale, too. Regular season, they beat Cleveland 123-109. They improved to 7-2 when all 3 superstars were on the court at the same time. Of course, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. They secured the 2 seed in the East behind Philadelphia, and they await the winner of the play-in game between Washington and Boston. Here's Kevin Durant on the postseason.
It's on us to go out there and execute, you know, so I'm looking forward to, like I said, the preparation, next few days of practice, and seeing who we play, and then we can move on from there.
Mets lost 7-1 to Tampa Bay yesterday. They got swept this weekend. They're 18-16 still in first. Yankees lost yesterday, too. 10-6 to Baltimore. They're in third behind Toronto and Boston. Inside the American League East, it was Romberg who won the Pimlico Preakness Stakes on Saturday, not Medina Spirit, the horse that won the Kentucky Derby. And how about game one of the Islanders and the Penguins? A dramatic finish. And in the end, it was New York who got the win.
Here's Palmieri and Pageau into the Penguin zone. 3.5 to go here in OT. Palmieri with a shot. He scores! Kyle Palmieri, he's second today. And the Islanders take game one.
Islanders take game one. How about that? Sports at 15:45. Brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at PeerlessBoilers.com and PavilionTankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
6:17, let's check in on traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe Nolan.
All right, Frank, outbound, go on to speak. QE slow at the Prospect. Tractor-trailer accident, right lane. The inbound side is backed up from 65th Street all the way on up to the Brooklyn Bridge. If you're on the inbound LIE, you've got delays. Casino Boulevard to Queens Boulevard, inbound on the Skyway. A little slow now. Newark up to about mid-span, that earlier accident out of the way. Northbound on the Connecticut Turnpike, we continue to have a lot of slow traffic getting up to exit 4. It's all off on the shoulder, but there's a tractor-trailer accident with a fuel spill. But again, just rubbernecking more than anything else. Jersey Turnpike, also a little bit of a delay getting down towards 11. Apparently, there was an earlier issue there. New Jersey Transit trains 45 both ways. Dover to Summit, a pedestrian accident at Common Station, and alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations again today are suspended. This support a service of Indeed.com. With Indeed Instant Match, you can accelerate the hiring process just by sponsoring a job, and you'll get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Fast hiring, no speeding tickets. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. And we are going to, if you're interested in this whole cryptocurrency thing, you really need to listen to Frank's business report coming up after weather. It is going to be a lovely day today, 76 degrees, partly sunny. I'm going to say partly sunny. It says partly cloudy. I never go with that. 80 degrees tomorrow, sunny skies. Wednesday, 86 degrees with sunny skies. Thursday, 85 degrees with sunny skies. Friday, the same thing, although it will be a bit cooler, 77 degrees. And the weekend so far is shaping up to look really nice in the low to mid 80s. Currently, the temperature in Manhattan is 57 degrees.
Stock futures are edging lower after Wall Street's worst week in 3 months. Dow futures are down 74 points, more than 0.2%. S&P 500s are down 675, more than 0.1%. And NASDAQ futures are off 2375, nearly 0.2%. The Dow and the S&P 500 both fell more than 1% last week, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ lost 2.3%. Speaking of technology, Tesla CEO Elon Musk is again rattling the Bitcoin market. He sent the price of the cryptocurrency spiraling after suggesting Tesla could sell its Bitcoin holdings yesterday. The sell-off started when Musk responded to a tweet about what the reaction would be if Tesla dumped its Bitcoin earnings with one word, indeed. That came after he recently caused another similar drop in Bitcoin prices when he criticized cryptocurrency mining techniques because of their environmental impact, Juliet.
Let's head over right now to Mr. Rosenberg, who is looking quite tan today and is listening to something on his phone.
Tan, rested, and ready.
Is there
tan,
something
tan, rested, and ready.
Yes.
B.B. Rebozo said of Richard Nixon.
Is that true?
I think so.
All right. Big show Monday always. Rich Lowry. Love Rich Lowry. Very smart guest. Of course, he's the editor of the National Review, Politico, NBC. Always good to wrap up your political weekend with Rich Lowry on a Monday. Mm-hmm. Then we'll talk to a guy named Andrew Gutman. Remember last week, the father that freaked out over his kid and the whole school
issue?
Oh, the
school thing, yeah.
Yes, that's him.
Oh, good.
So Andrew's going to stop by.
Was the school Beardley? Was that it?
Beardley? I think it was, yes. And then, of course, I'm celebrating the Knicks. I know people are down on the NBA and they hate LeBron, and so do I, by the way. But not a lot of great stuff happening in this city. So I've decided something fun, something exciting, something good, like the Knicks in the playoffs. That's a good thing.
So you really seem to get attacked because you support basketball?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People are like, well, they hate the cops. And listen, not all of them do. Some do. Some people that you may work with every day may hate the cops. I have no idea. I don't know. Mm. But John Starks is an all-time great Knick. He's a good friend of mine. He doesn't hate the cops, and he's going to stop by today because I think if I said this so many times, if we start to really take inventory of all the folks that don't believe in what we believe in, then I'll never go see a movie. I'll never go see a sporting event. I'll never watch TV. I'll stop listening to music because I disagree with all of them. And I don't like them individually, but I refuse to give up on stuff I enjoy in life.
I agree.
It's such nonsense.
I went to a party this weekend, 50th birthday for my husband's friend. They grew up in Valley Stream. A lot of them are big Trumpers, and they know my position. And it was like, we all got along fine. None of us talked about politics. We got into a little bit of stuff, but it was like, when you get to know people and you're friends with people and you talk to people, it's like, let's just keep it out of it. I don't understand why everybody has to get so hateful. I agree with both of you,
but I think what you went through, Juliet, is a little bit different from what Sid is describing, right? You're talking about personal relationships and being friendly, even though you might disagree. What I think people who take issue with, say, Robert De Niro or the NFL or NBA, it's almost the codification of a certain political ideology in the sporting event itself. It's not as if you were friends with Latrell Sprewell or John Starks and then all of a sudden you stayed friends with them because of their political views. The NBA and the NFL and even Major League Baseball, they seem to have really embraced the Black Lives Matter movement, which some people have a problem with.
Yeah.
I think it is a little different than
I have a huge problem with the Black Lives Matter movement. A huge problem.
My point was actually I don't have a problem with the movement and the concept of the movement. I think that the concept was a something that was very worthy. I think it was out of hand, and I think the people running it are out of hand. But I was talking about being attacked on social media, the way Sid is being attacked.
I just don't care, though. I just don't care.
Misunderstood. I wasn't trying to attack you at all.
I didn't think you were.
Good. Okay.
I don't care, though. The people can get upset with me. It doesn't temper my enthusiasm.
Like you're like the bad guy in wrestling. You enjoy the booze.
I wear the black hat gladly.
I don't care. But you do care deep down. You do sometimes care.
Oh, no.
I know you do.
No, I don't. No. In fact, as long as people attack me.
Haven't you said you care before?
No, people attack me for my my political opinions, my job. I'm okay with that. The only time I do care is when they get personal.
Talk about my
personal issues or my family. Then I will come kill you. I will come kill you.
Well, that's what I mean, but that's what they do. It's because of your political opinions or your cultural or social opinions that they attack you and they call you horrible things.
Yeah, they don't fight
as they do for me in the opposite direction. It's absurd. It is absurd. It's childish.
So with that said, let's go Knicks.
Yeah.
Let's go. And if you're a Brooklyn Net fan, if you're in Brooklyn right now, someone Flappish Avenue, let's go Nets. Nets are the two seed. The Knicks are the four seed.
They're both in the playoffs. The Nets ended up the two seed.
The Knicks ended up the four seed. They're both in the playoffs.
Wow.
Both. It's exciting.
This is
the best basketball city. You know, when I was a kid, and even later on, West 4th Street, the basketball courts there, you name some of the all-time greats, the ball players in the playoffs.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Lou Alcindor, who's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Connie Hawkins. We had the best players in the world here in New York City.
And you're talking about West 4th Street downtown.
Yes.
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 I mean, when I used to live downtown, you'd go by there, and this was in the early 2000s, and you'd still see, people would always be crowded around. It was just like a superstar event.
Those games sometimes are better than the Knicks. So we are a big basketball town. It's very exciting.
It is exciting.
We're very happy about it.
All right. Stay tuned for the Bernie and Sid Show at 6:30. Rich Lowry, Andrew Gutman, and John Starks, legendary New York Knick. A big, big day on the Bernie and Sid Show. All right. Juliet, anything else we want to bring to people's attention before we get out of here?
I would just like to let everybody know, if you are on Twitter or you're on Instagram, please follow both Frank and me at Juliet Huddy TV on both. And you are?
I am on Twitter at Frank Morano and on Instagram at Morano Vision, MORANO.
And you can also follow the 77 WABC Twitter and Instagram accounts. We really want you guys to log on there because we put a lot of content on that we work hard on and our colleagues work hard on to post there. So
absolutely,
just
right.
Make sure you do that. And it really gives you a lot of the personal stuff I post on my Instagram account. I do a lot of videos, even videos from my house and, you know, with my husband, and sometimes we've been drinking, so it can be entertaining.
Juliet Huddy TV, if that isn't a reason to follow it, I don't know what is. All right. Have a great day, everybody. Good luck at the beginning of the week. Hopefully you're rested from the weekend and can accomplish a lot of things today and for the rest of the week. Enjoy some of the nice weather. Here's Joe Nolan with traffic.
Right at the prospect, we still have that tractor-trailer accident, right lane out of service inbound. We're slow 65th Street to the Brooklyn Bridge. Now, inbound on the LIE, extra heavy Casino Boulevard to Queens Boulevard. Then on the eastbound side, way out in Suffolk County at exit 69, there's an accident now that just apparently is in the process of being cleared. Connecticut Turnpike, northbound exit 4, tractor-trailer, again, that fuel spill, that's all off on the shoulder. And then Jersey Transit, 45, both ways, Dover to Summit, pedestrian accident in Convent Station, and alternate side of the street parking. Rules and regulations are suspended. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.